Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. I am Matt Williamson at Williamson NFL. How's everyone doing? Today is AFC North Day. Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Let's dig into these three draft classes for the Brownies, the Bengals, and the Ravens. Before we do, as impartially as I possibly can, if I were to rank the four AFC North draft classes strictly on the players they brought in, like I'm not counting Deshaun Watson as part of the deal or they picked up a future pick or whatever, I would put the Steelers first comfortably. I would put the Browns last by a wide margin, although they didn't have a lot of draft capital. We'll get to them first. The other two I would have is above average classes, but I like Cincinnati's a little bit more than Baltimore's. All right. We're going to kick it off here with the Brownies. They didn't pick until 54. Still part of the Deshaun Watson trade. Maybe right up there with Russell Wilson as one of the worst trades in the history of the league. Their first pick was Michael Hall from Ohio State. They want a rotation amongst their defensive line, particularly their defensive tackles, and he fits that well. He is not an every down player. He's undersized. He can get swallowed up by double teams and things like that. But he's an upfield penetrating defensive tackle out of Ohio State that's probably going to play around 285 pounds. Quickness, makes plays in the backfield, good stunter, things like that. Movement player, lateral agility, can chase down ball carriers on the outside, but not a power player. I would assume his early role will be on third downs, and he should be decent at it. I like him. I don't love him. I really like their next pick. That's Zach Zinter. He's a guard out of Michigan. Funny enough, a guard from Michigan, D-tackle from Ohio State, obvious rivals. Would have been one of the first pure guards drafted, if not number one, but he is injured. And much like the Ravens did last year, I think they project him as a starter a year from now. Why is that important? Well, first off, he's not going to help them this year. If so, it'll be late, and he's behind a pair of really good guards in the, with Cleveland. But because of this crazy Watson contract they have, this pick tells me one of our two guards isn't going to be here much longer because they're too expensive. You know, they have a really good pairing of guards, but you can't keep doing that whenever you're paying Watson $65 million or whatever it is. Next picks is Jamari Thrash, wide receiver out of Louisville. And I'm not going to dig in heavy these seventh rounders, but Thrash is a solid player. At best, he'll be a three, maybe more of a four. But I found it interesting. This year they took Thrash a wide receiver. Last year, their first pick was Tillman, a wide receiver. The year before that, they took Bell in the third round. The year before that, they took Schwartz in the third round. All wide receivers, 4 years in a row taking a reasonably high mid-round pick wide receiver. And their top three guys are Cooper, Moore, and Judy, all of whom they had to trade for. So haven't been getting anything out of these draftable wide receivers. I like Nathaniel Watson, linebacker out of Mississippi State. I also really like Miles Harden, a corner out of South Dakota. I don't know why Harden went this late. I thought he was more of a four or five. So good value picks there. And they also got Jawan Briggs, a defensive tackle out of Cincinnati that'll probably struggle to make the team, to be quite honest with you. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, the Baltimore Birdies made 9 picks, 2 of which were 7th rounders, 2 of which were 4th rounders. And this is a theme. It wasn't just the Steelers, but a lot of these playoff teams had to be thrilled with what fell to them after 6 quarterbacks go in the top 12. And I didn't think Nate Wiggins, the corner from Clemson, would last till 30. He's skinny. He really made a lot of business decisions last year in terms of trying to stay healthy and not sticking his nose in against the run. And he's not really a Raven in that capacity. You know, I mean, he's not a tough guy first. I mean, he's kind of an outside, super fast, lean, man-to-man corner that's a better player than the 30th pick overall. But in terms of Ravens' toughness traits, I don't really see it with Wiggins. Or their second pick, Roger Rosengarten. He was the tackle on the other side of the University of Washington's line. So he played the right side, Pinnix's blind side. He's a good athlete, but he's also more of a finesse player. Right tackle's a big problem for the Ravens. I think Rosengarten will start early. I just don't know that he has the strength to deal with that. And that means TJ Watt and also Miles Garrett and, you know, others. Speaking of edge pass rushers, they took Penn State's Idissa Isaac at the 93rd pick. They needed him. I mean, Ajabo and Owe have not exactly been home run hits, but they both have ability. So another guy there makes sense. Clowney's gone. So I like Isaac. I think that's a solid pick there. Devontez Walker was a receiver they took in the 4th round, one of 2 4th round picks. Really struggled catching the ball at the Senior Bowl, and that's a bit of a problem for him. That was a bad week for him. But he's a downfield go-ball guy. You know, I mean, he's a good player. I mean, to get him at the 113th pick overall, solid value. Real solid value on the pick at 130, and that's TJ Tampa. And I've heard some rumblings just recently. They look at him maybe as a safety, which is interesting to me. He was an outside-the-numbers corner, a lot of man coverage, didn't run great. Not super physical for safety, but they do ask their defensive backs to do a lot of interesting things. So that's intriguing to me. I thought that was their best value pick and the one I liked the most. They took a running back, Rasheem Ali, out of Marshall. He's kind of like well-known as a great pass protector, but he's injured. I don't know when he'll play. And Devin Leary from Kentucky, I thought was a really interesting player here too. He's the kind of guy I wouldn't have minded the Steelers taking at the end. Just work on him for a year, see where he's at. Works out better for Baltimore. He's not a Lamar Jackson clone, but he's not a bad athlete. And then Nick Samak, a center out of Michigan State, backup at best. I mean, at best, especially with, you know, Linderbaum in the mix. But their O-line to me still is a little worrisome, to be honest. Speaking of O-line, Cincinnati leads off with Amarius Mims, a guy we've talked about a ton. I think this is a really good landing spot for Mims. Obviously, Cincinnati's offensive tackles are the biggest you've ever seen, and that's still the case with Mims. Maybe that's why they took him over Fatanu, perhaps. You know, I mean, they're much different body types. And they have 2 in place, so they can bring him along slow. I'm sure he'll come out as 6th offensive lineman. Maybe he's a starting guard. But a real trend with this Bengal draft is all their offensive picks are sort of boom or bust, high variance. If they hit, they hit big. But their defensive picks are solid. You know, they're not real risky, not a lot of downside, pretty solid picks. And I don't know if that was done on purpose or not, but I found it interesting. And they got one of my favorite players in this draft, Chris Jenkins, with the 49th pick overall. You guys will lose your mind with me actually saying this, but if Jenkins and Frazier would have been both on the board at 51, and remember, Jenkins went 49, that would have been an extremely difficult decision for me. So I know I'm very happy with Frazier, but I've been just as happy with Jenkins. I think he's a really good player. They're going to play against each other a bunch in the trenches. He's got a lot of upside. They lost DJ Reader. I thought defensive tackle was their number one need and got a good one in the second round. This is, talk about variance, is Jermaine Burton, wide receiver, Bama. Was also at Georgia. He's also been at numerous schools going back to high schools because he wears on people and he has character issues. This is an old school Bengals type pick. And I'm not exaggerating. If he was clean off the field, I think he sneaks into the back of round one. I mean, he's that good. He is explosive. He's a downfield guy. He is the immediate T. Higgins replacement. All those third guys that they've had, you know, now that Boyd's gone too, are all out of the mix. He'll go right past all of them. I guess he has a tight relationship with TJ Houshmandzadeh. But by all accounts, I mean, I'm not stepping on a line here. There's a lot of knuckleheadedness here. And who knows how he keeps that afloat. McKinley Jackson, defensive tackle from A&M. Again, D-tackle is a big need. Jackson is more nosy-ish than Jenkins, which is more Reader-ish. And I thought he was way overdrafted. I mean, at the end of the third round. Because he's just a hold-the-point, tough-as-could-be dude. Crazy background, really tough. You mean like everyone's afraid of him, you know, and he's that type of guy in the locker room. But doesn't affect the passing game. And I think he was overdrafted. He's fine. He probably won't miss. I really, again, go back to the offense, high variance. Eric All, tight end, Iowa. Tight end, Iowa is the first thing that should stick out of here. They hit like crazy. Laporta and Hawkinson and Kittle and Fant, et cetera, et cetera. And he's very talented. He has not finished either of the last 2 years. He's got a massive injury history, but they drafted two tight ends. They brought in some tight ends. I assume that they're going to try to get that position more involved. And if all can stay healthy, he's going to be a problem for the Steelers for a while. Another solid defensive pick. There's a defensive back we've talked about a fair amount, Josh Newton from TCU. They're going to move Dax Hill, first-round pick during the Pickett year, to full-time corner. I think Newton will also be a outside slash slot defensive back, probably the four for them for now, probably projects to be a three before long. And then the rest of their picks really didn't move the needle for me all that much, but they took two guys out of the Mississippi, Cedric Johnson, a defensive end, and Juan Anthony, a defensive back. They took a second tight end out of Arizona, Tanner McLaughlin. And then the last pick I thought was kind of interesting at 237 overall is Matt Lee, center, Miami. Now, I'm not here to keep telling you this was a deep center draft. If the Steelers didn't get their top three, it would have been okay. But this guy usually would be like a fifth-round pick to me, and he ends up being a seventh-round center. Moves really well, agile, needs to get stronger. Maybe he ends up being something for the Bungles here in the next couple years. But nice pick, just a name to keep an eye on. So again, I would rank the draft classes in the division. Steelers, Bengals, Ravens, they're close. Again, Bengals are high variance on offense. And the Browns are a distant fourth, but sort of no fault of their own. They didn't have premium picks, but hey, that's the bed that they made and they're sleeping in it. So, alrighty. I got some other Steelers stuff tomorrow. That'll be the last one of the week. Also need to, one of my projects in the meantime, I need to do a better job digging into the Steelers undrafted free agent pool just to get a little bit of a snapshot on each of those dudes. And there's a couple people in that class that some folks are excited about. See if I agree. All right, take care. Over and out.